Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narcissus podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Anne of Green Gables. A graphic novel by Maria Marsden is a graphic novel adaptation of L.M. Montgomery's classic coming-of-age story, illustrated by Brenna Thumler. It retells the novel in a streamlined visual format that keeps the central arc intact. Anne Shirley arrives at Green Gables by mistake, wins over Matthew and Marilla Cuthbert, and gradually becomes part of the Avonlea community. The book's purpose is not to replace the original, but to make its emotional core more accessible to younger readers and to readers who may find the original prose intimidating. Through concise dialogue, expressive character art, and a strong sense of place, the adaptation preserves Anne's imagination, resilience, and tendency to turn ordinary events into dramatic experiences. It also emphasizes the pastoral setting, the rhythms of rural life, and the social tensions that shape Anne's relationships. As a result, the book works both as an introduction to a literary classic and as a visual reinterpretation of a familiar story. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a streamlined adaptation that preserves the heart of Montgomery's original story, Maria Marsden adapts a much longer novel into a compact graphic narrative, which requires selective emphasis rather than exhaustive retelling. The book concentrates on the most recognizable and emotionally important episodes, including Anne's arrival at Green Gables, her early mistakes, her friendships, and her gradual acceptance by the community. This compression changes pacing, but it does not erase the story's central logic. Anne enters a closed household, disrupts its habits, and slowly reveals why imagination, warmth, and verbal brilliance matter. The adaptation is strongest when it treats key moments as narrative anchors rather than as isolated highlights. That makes the book useful for readers who already know the novel and want a distilled version, as well as for newcomers who need a clearer entry point into the story world. The shorter format also shifts attention from extended interior narration to visible action and reaction, which changes how the reader understands Anne. Instead of long descriptive passages, the adaptation uses sequence, facial expression, and scene composition to communicate character growth and emotional shifts. Secondly, Brenna Thumler's artwork carries much of the emotional storytelling. The graphic novel depends heavily on illustration because the visual layer does more than decorate the text. Brenna Thumler's art gives weight to Anne's energy, Matthew's quietness, Marilla's reserve, and the broader atmosphere of Avonlea. The settings are rendered with attention to landscape, seasonal change, and domestic detail, which helps the reader feel the contrast between Anne's inner intensity and the calm structure of her surroundings. Color is especially important. The greenery of Avonlea creates a cohesive sense of place, while darker tones are used to signal sorrow, loneliness, or tension. This visual coding allows the book to communicate emotional nuance quickly, which is essential in a condensed adaptation. The art also compensates for reduced narration by showing how characters stand, hesitate, look away, or soften toward one another. In a story where much of the original appeal comes from Anne's voice, the illustrations help preserve personality through gesture and mood. The result is a version of the novel that can be read almost as much through atmosphere as through dialogue. Thirdly, Anne remains compelling because her imagination is treated as a serious force. The adaptation does not present Anne's imagination as mere eccentricity or comic noise. Instead, it shows that her inventiveness is a coping mechanism, a social tool, and a way of reshaping her world. Anne's tendency to rename, dramatize, and idealize experience gives the story its distinctive energy, but the book also makes clear that this habit has consequences. She can create delight, but she can also overreact, misjudge others, or turn a small embarrassment into a crisis. That balance matters because it keeps her from becoming a flat, inspirational figure. Marsden's version preserves the tension between Anne's freedom of spirit and the expectations of the adults around her. Readers see that her imagination helps her belong, but only when it is tempered by humility, responsibility, and friendship. This is one of the adaptation's most important lessons. Creativity is valuable, not because it escapes reality, but because it helps a child negotiate reality more fully. That idea gives the book relevance for young readers who are learning how personality, language, and emotional self-control interact. Fourthly, the graphic novel clarifies the social world of Avonlea and its moral pressures. Beyond Anne herself, the book pays attention to the social environment that shapes her development. Avonlea is not simply a charming rural setting. It is a community governed by manners, reputation, gender expectations, and local judgment. Anne has to learn how to live among adults and peers who do not automatically excuse her behavior. And many of the story's conflicts arise from misunderstandings or from the pressure to conform. Characters such as Diana Barry, Mrs. Lynde, Gilbert Blythe, Matthew, and Marilla each represent different forms of relation to Anne, from friendship to criticism to quiet protection. The adaptation uses these relationships to show how belonging is earned through repeated acts of trust rather than through charm alone. That social dimension is especially important in a graphic novel because the format can make interactions feel immediate and readable. Small visual cues reveal status, distance, and affection without extended exposition. The result is a story about community formation as much as individual growth. Anne becomes part of Avonlea, not because she changes into someone else, but because the people around her gradually learn how to interpret her correctly. Lastly, this format makes a classic especially accessible for younger and hesitant readers. One of the book's main strengths is its accessibility. The original Anne of Green Gables can be daunting for readers who struggle with classic prose or who want a faster, more visual entry into the story. Marsden's adaptation lowers that barrier without reducing the story to a summary sheet. It still offers character development, emotional conflict, and a recognizable narrative arc, but it does so through panels, pacing, and image-driven storytelling. That makes it especially suitable for middle-grade readers, classroom use, family reading, and library collections seeking approachable classics. It can also function as a bridge text. A reader may encounter Anne here first and later move to Montgomery's novel with a clearer sense of the characters and setting. At the same time, the book is not only for beginners. Fans of the original can appreciate how the adaptation preserves iconic scenes and reinterprets them visually. Its practical value lies in balancing literary heritage with readability, which is a difficult task in adaptations. By making Anne's world vivid and manageable, the graphic novel broadens access to a foundational story without stripping away its emotional identity. In conclusion, Anne of Green Gables. A graphic novel is best suited for middle-grade readers, reluctant readers, classroom collections, and longtime Anne fans who want to revisit Avonlea in a new form. Its main benefit is accessibility. It condenses a beloved classic into a visually clear, emotionally faithful adaptation that can be read more quickly than the original, while still preserving its essential character dynamics and atmosphere. For younger readers, it offers a direct path into a story that might otherwise feel distant because of older prose. For experienced readers, it highlights how much of Anne's appeal depends on tone, setting, and emotional rhythm, all of which are effectively translated into panel form. What sets this book apart from many other classic adaptations is the strength of the visual storytelling. The artwork does not merely illustrate events. It carries mood, relationships, and the changing feel of Avonlea. The book also respects the source material enough to keep Anne's voice and spirit recognizable, even within a tighter narrative. As a result, it serves both as an introduction and as a companion piece, making the classic feel immediate without pretending to replace it. If you would like to support Maria Marsden, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.